Now, having a look at some more of your comments, we were discussing the cost of home insurance. A listener says, my house insurance was €485 last year. It's now €860 this year. The insurance company asked me if I had a claim and they told me that it depends on your air code. The more people that are in your area who have a claim, they put up the price for everyone. That answers the concern I had about picking up the cost of other people, but also obviously it depends on your air code. So you'd be a bit annoyed at your neighbours for that, wouldn't you? A listener has been in touch. Big shout out to the man who lifted the poor dead fox on the road just before St Joseph's Hospital in Stranorder. I was on the road early this morning. Terrible traffic. Every second person on their phone on the dual carriageway, and it was not 18 or 23 year olds. I was just saying this, commenting over the weekend as well. There is such an increase in people using their phone while driving and not even trying to hide the fact. Blatantly, you know, you see it up resting on the steering wheel, their hand resting on the steering wheel with the phone in their hand. It's just crazy. And, you know, so many vehicles now have Bluetooth in it. So it's not an emergency that they need to contact someone, or just as Grania was saying during the Garda information slot, just put it in the glove department, put it away, keep it in your bag, in the back seat or the boot until you arrive at your destination. Another listener says the number plates are all about money, money, money. They are tax collectors for the government. They're actually a very important part as well of road safety. I was discussing this yesterday and I had mentioned that, you know, it's an indication for Gardaí. They can scan the number plate and they could get more information on the driver, and it could alert them to a number of maybe, you know, they could be convicted of, they could have been banned for, sorry, I'm trying to get my thoughts straight, could have been banned from driving previously, and they're back on the road again, and that could potentially save someone's life. So I don't really agree that it's just to, you know, generate income for the government. I have a tip to keep your berries fresh for longer. Take your berries home and wash them, dry them with a paper towel and put them in an airtight container. Line it with kitchen paper and strawberries will last up to 2 weeks. Make sure the paper towel isn't damp and keep changing it. I do take them home, wash them and put them in an airtight container, but I don't dry them beforehand. So maybe that's where I'm going wrong. And I also don't line the container with kitchen paper. So I will try that and maybe I'll be able to expand beyond the blueberries. Good morning. Can you play a request congratulating all those people who are receiving an award in Dublin tonight from Water Safety Ireland? That comes in from the Robinsons in Kilmacrenan. Yeah, there's quite a number of Donegal people receiving awards for the efforts they have made in rescuing people or different water-related incidents. Another listener says, please say a big hello and congratulations to all the students and staff of Errigal College that took part in the Monday night sessions on Highland Radio last night. The principal, Danny McFadden, looked so proud and spoke highly of the students. Jimmy and Paul encouraged the students to showcase their talents on the local radio station. What a fantastic opportunity for all involved and all the people working behind the scenes. A special hello to Davin and Killian that lifted the roof with the bagpipes. Wishing you all the best in your future careers. Yeah, I did see some of those videos on our social media channels, and the talent, every person that contributed to it was so talented. It was amazing to see. Yeah, so you can check out those videos on our Facebook page and you can see all the talent from the school there. I'm joined now by Aidan Ryan, Professor in Tumour Immunology. So a team of researchers at University of Galway's College of Medicine, Nursing and Health Sciences has carried out a world-first study into how bile cancer can impact the immune system. So Aidan, what has been discovered in this study?
Yeah, so good morning and thanks for having me on. So bile cancer diagnosis is on the increase. Recent data shows a doubling of bile cancer diagnosis in younger patients actually over the last 25 years. And as your listeners would probably be aware, one of the biggest developments in cancer treatment in the past decade has been the use of immunotherapies. But immunotherapies, while they have great hope, they don't work for the majority of patients. So it has revolutionised care in cancers such as melanoma and lung, but it has shown very limited benefit in bile cancer. leaving patients with advanced disease with fewer treatment options. So this research that we have done, which is led by Dr. Eisho O'Neill and Dr. Oliver Tracy, focuses on why it doesn't work as well in some bowel cancer patients, which is quite a challenge. So what we did was we took samples from tumours that respond well and tumours that don't respond well, and we looked at the differences in those tumours. And what we saw was that there was a very high number of these normal cells around the tumour cells in the tumours that don't respond to therapy. And these normal cells we call stromal cells. And not only was there a higher number of these stromal cells, what we discovered was they were hiding the immune system away from fighting the cancer. So what we did then was try to figure out, well, are these cells communicating with each other? Why are the immune cells close to the normal cells and not near the tumour cells? And what we discovered, that bowel cancer cells can trick the normal cells into shutting down two of our most important tumour-fighting immune cells called natural killer cells and macrophages, and it leaves them unable to attack the bowel cancer cells. So we then discovered how they do this. They produce a cloak, which is made of sugar molecules called phyoglycans, and this cloak allows them to communicate with the immune cells. And what it does is the receptors on the immune cells, on their surface, sense that cloak and they turn off. So what we did was we took two approaches. We removed the sugar cloak using both a targeting mechanism that stops it being produced and also a targeting mechanism that cuts it off the surface. And what we found was when we did that, that our first-line defenders in the immune system, those tumour-fighting cells, NK cells and macrophages, became activated. And this activation allowed for better bowel cancer killing and reduced metastasis. We showed this in using different models in the lab and also using cells taken from bowel cancer samples, which were generously donated by patients at University Hospital Galway, led by a collaboration with Professor Aisling Hogan and Professor Sean Hines.
And I suppose, Aideen, the real concern here is the treatment people are receiving if they have bowel cancer. You know, this obviously needs to be reviewed now in line with the study that has been carried out.
So what we believe our next steps are, so the knowledge that we have gained from this study allows us now to understand how they're communicating. Right, so what's exciting about it is we're working with a company in the US called Pallion Pharmaceuticals, who are developing drugs to target these sugar cloaks on the stromal cells. And the drugs are in clinical trials and have shown safety and some evidence of immune activation, although these trials are very early phase. But the plan is now to test the effects of combining the targeting of the mechanism we've discovered along with some of the approved immunotherapies in the clinic to see if that combination might work better and improve immune responses to bowel cancer. But we've got lots of further research to do. We need further investment to realise this potential of the discovery. But it's obviously also really great to have been able to carry this out in the west of Ireland, where cancer outcomes are probably not what they should be. And that basically this research will allow us to do the translational research component to build a comprehensive cancer centre into the future that will hopefully give prospects and hope to cancer patients in the west of Ireland.
And obviously, you know, the amount of people, you know, living with bowel cancer that have received treatment for bowel cancer here in Ireland, it's over 2,500 annually. So there's a great need for this to be reviewed.
That's right. I mean, treatments are evolving all the time, and bowel cancer is complex, right, because we don't fully understand what's causing the increases. So that's one question that still remains to be answered. And we also don't understand what is important for patients to respond to immunotherapy. So I guess this knowledge gives us that bit of information that brings us a step closer to understanding how we can combine those to improve outcomes. Because as you said, the diagnosis of bowel cancer is increasing, which presents a clinical problem.
And I know you've mentioned that you need to carry out further research. Is there anything, any changes that can be implemented now in the interim?
Well, none of our research right now has gone through the approval process for drug development. So what we have done is created research models that allows us to answer mechanistic questions. So the next step would be that we would move those in line with looking at, as I said earlier, how we can combine those with drugs that are already approved and start that process of combination drug development, which obviously takes time. All of this research needs to be validated. Even we've used patient samples from Galway. We need to validate that through international collaborations as well, which will be the likely next step.
Yeah, but definitely a great first step. Aideen Ryan, Professor in Tumour Immunology, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And if you need any more information or you want to read more about that study, you can find out more information in the Journal for Immunotherapy.
Shekalaha Ama Highland Radio. Arnad or Tugat ig Airgrid. Uproar agus forbor anga letrahas na heren. Airgrid. Pobalia guaktu, era aguaktu. Teshe.
Tashé, 20 past 11. Now, the country is preparing to take to the polls once again this coming Friday to elect the next President of Ireland. I'm joined by Brian Dawson, who is Communications and Public Affairs Manager with the Electoral Commission. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Michaela. Thanks for having us on.
No problem.
It seems like there's regular elections these
days.
Yeah,
happens a lot now, doesn't it? And I'm sure it's an extremely busy time for yourselves there with the Electoral Commission.
Yeah, we've been going, and actually we've been running our voter registration campaign since August, really working with people and with different communities just to make sure that people were registered to vote so that come Friday they actually have an opportunity to cast their vote.
Yeah, and I suppose this piece is all about voting. So we'll start with how people can prepare to vote.
Yeah, well, as I say, Friday is the big day. It's polling day, 24th of October. Polls are open from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. And you don't need to bring much with you to vote, but you do need to bring some ID. So, you know, driver's license, student card, any of that sort of thing. And also, we do get a question a lot about whether people need to bring their polling cards. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't need to bring your polling card. But if you have it, it speeds up the process. It just makes it easier for the polling staff to find your name on the list. But then you go into the polling station, get your ballot paper, make sure that your ballot paper has been stamped by the polling staff because they need to do that. And then off you go into the privacy of your polling booth and you write number one for your most preferred candidate. And it's up to yourself then if you continue on with your preferences two and three. So, you know, the choice is yours. And what we always say to people is your vote is your voice. If you don't have your say in this election, someone else will be deciding for you mm-hmm. who is going to be our next president. And you wouldn't let someone else decide for you in any other aspect of your life. So why do it in an election?
Absolutely. And Brian, have you seen in terms of the number of people registering to vote, have you seen there been an increase since the previous, I think it was the last one we had was the general election, was it?
Yeah. So actually, as I was saying, since we started running our registration campaign in August, we've seen 61,000 new people apply to be added to the register and actually another 30,000 people apply to update their details. So that's really positive. And, you know, we were out and about it at the ploughing, at Electric Picnic. We've been at loads of different college campuses and so on. And like, there is a real desire to have your say from people, and particularly young people, we've mm-hmm. been finding. So, you know, we got some figures yesterday of how many people are actually on the register for this presidential election. And, you know, there's 127,789 presidential electors in Donegal alone mm-hmm. and 3.6 million across the country. So, you know, a lot of people eligible to use their vote. And what we say is please do get out and use your vote.
Yeah. And just having a quick scan of those figures, that's one of the highest, if not the highest in the country, is it, in Donegal?
It is. So, you know, obviously, it's great to see, mm-hmm. You know, and you know, where that sometimes people can go, oh, well, I might be busy on Friday. I might have, you know, we all have busy lives, dropping off kids, going to work, you know, getting the shopping done, whatever it is. But what we're saying to people between the hours of 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., make a plan and you know, maybe have it in your head that you're going to vote maybe first thing in the morning or lunchtime or do it after work and stick to that plan because, you know, days run away very quickly, but it only takes, you know, 10, 15 minutes to vote. But it's so important. And the next time potentially you could have the next chance to vote in a presidential election would be 2032. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these presidential elections don't come around very often. And now's your chance to have your say.
Yeah. And in terms of someone who maybe hasn't received a polling card, how do they go about that?
Well, I suppose don't worry if you haven't received your polling card and you think or you know you're on the register, you don't need your polling card. If you want to double check that you're on the register, there's a website called checktheregister.ie and that's very simple. You just put in your air code or your address and your name and your details should pop up. Unfortunately, if you're not registered at this point, the deadline has passed for people to register in order to be able to vote in the presidential election. So that ship has sailed, but you can still register for future elections. And I suppose presidential elections are like referendums in that you can only vote if you're an Irish citizen, if you're aged over 18, if you're a resident in the state, and if you're on the electoral register. So they're the kind of four boxes that you need to tick in order to be able to vote.
And we obviously saw Jim Gavin pull out of the race to be the next president, but his name will still be on the ballot paper. Is that correct?
That is correct. So we've had, as you can imagine, Michaela, a lot of questions about this. So we're very happy to provide as much clarity as people need. There are three candidates on the ballot paper. Although, as you say, one of the candidates is withdrawn from the campaign. The deadline had already passed for him to be taken off the ballot paper. So that deadline was actually the 24th of September. So there's three valid names and candidates on your ballot paper. A vote for any of them is a valid vote. And any vote that you cast for each of those three candidates will be counted in the normal way.
Okay.
And, you know, any of those three candidates can be elected president.
So it won't be obviously counted as a spoiled vote then? He is still eligible to be elected?
No, it's a totally valid vote. So, as I say, you know, think carefully about how you're going to cast your vote. But it's any of the three candidates are valid candidates and if you vote for them, it's just a vote for them.
Yeah. And in relation to the number of spoiled votes, do you anticipate that there will be quite a number? I know, I suppose, every election people say that they're going to spoil their vote, but there does seem to be a bit of momentum behind that, unfortunately, this time.
Yeah, look, you know, I suppose what goes on between a person and their ballot paper in the privacy of the polling booth is their own choice. But what we say to people is, first of all, every election we see thousands of votes which are accidentally invalidated, so accidentally spoiled, where people maybe don't make a clear first preference, where maybe the polling staff have forgotten to stamp the vote, or where people unintentionally, I'd say, rather than accidentally, write something on their ballot paper that they didn't mean to spoil their vote. So, you know, up Donegal, right. You know, Mayo for Sam, whatever you're having yourself. We see this all the time in every election, that people kind of write lighthearted comments, sometimes draw pictures on their ballot papers. And we don't know, obviously, but we think quite often that they do that in the expectation that it won't affect their vote, you know, that they voted, say, they put their number one in the box, but also maybe written something else on the ballot paper. And we just want to make really clear to people that if you write anything else on your ballot paper, apart from the numbers in the boxes, then the returning officer can adjudicate on that ballot and can say that it's an invalid vote.
Okay.
So if you want to cast your vote, if you want your vote to count for who wins the election, then you have to fill it in correctly and not write anything else on the ballot paper.
A listener has asked, can I take my own pen to the polling station or do I have to use the pencil provided?
This is a really good question, and it's one we get a lot, actually. There's always pencils provided at the polling stations, but you can absolutely bring your own pen, bring your own biro, bring your own marker.
Yeah.
And that's no bother at all. In fact, someone I know uses the same biro in every election
right.
they voted in since they were 18, and it's kind of like their little
tradition.
So, you know, we all have our own things. The reason why pencils are provided, you know, and there are some theories, some of them a bit kooky, around this, but pencils don't dry up.
Mm-hmm.
They can be stored for periods between elections. They're pretty reliable, as we know from being in primary school, where they use a lot of pencils, and you know, they're there when you need them. They get the sharpener out, and they can be recycled. So that's really the reason why pencils are used. But you can bring your own biro. You can bring your own pen.
Yeah, another listener, you have answered this in a way. What is a spoiled vote, and would voting the third candidate who dropped out be considered a spoiled vote? But you've confirmed that it won't.
I'll clarify it again. A vote for any of the three candidates on the ballot paper is a valid vote and will be counted as a valid vote. If anything else is written on your ballot paper, if your preference isn't clear, if your ballot paper isn't stamped, there are all reasons that it could be a spoiled vote or classed as an invalid vote.
Yeah. Another has asked, what is the quota in the Irish presidential count and how does that work? Does that be set ahead of people voting or is that
no,
after?
The quota is based on the number of people who actually vote. And actually, I suppose, importantly, the quota is set in relation to the number of valid votes. So
okay.
I know we've been talking about spoiled votes, but spoiled votes, once adjudicated as invalid, don't count towards the quota. So therefore, they don't also count towards who is elected. And the quota is based on the number of people who actually cast their vote validly.
Grand. And after the votes are cast, the polls close at 10 p.m. What's the process then, Brian?
Well, then there's a number of different count centres around the country. In Donegal, it's going to be the Aura Leisure Centre in Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be where the votes from Donegal are going to be brought securely. And on Saturday morning, the ballot boxes will be opened up. The clips will be taken off the ballot boxes and they'll be opened and sorted and counted. And then that's happening at similar count centres across the country. And then because it's a national election, there's a central count centre in Dublin Castle, where the presidential returning officer will be overseeing, and his team will be overseeing the whole count and making the kind of formal declarations. So
Saturday, there won't be declarations here locally, will there?
As far as I know, the figures are sent. You know, there will be kind of local updates, but the national figures will be declared, obviously, in the national centre. There's a website, it's presidentialelection.ie, which will be keeping updated figures from the various count centres as the day goes on mm-hmm. Saturday. So keep an eye on that. And obviously, one of the brilliant quirks of Irish elections is tally men and tally women across the country will be keeping an eye on all the votes as they're taken out of the ballot boxes. And
that's nearly the most exciting part.
It is. It is. Like, obviously, working for the Electoral Commission, we're all political nerds and electoral nerds here. So we love elections. And, you know, the excitement around Irish elections is brilliant. And also, you know, in an age of international challenges to democracy, it's, you know, Irish elections are very, very transparent. You can see your ballot paper. You can see it obviously going into the box, being taken out of the box, being counted. So that gives people a real trust in the results and in the validity of Irish elections. And we're very proud here in Ireland to have one of the world's longest continuous democracies. So, you know, to maintain that proud tradition, we do need people to participate and to have their say in elections. You know, it's not enough to talk about candidates and to to have various moans, gripes, or to say positive things about candidates. You have to have your say at the ballot box.
Yeah, and that's where it matters, and that's where it matters for the next 7 years, I suppose, as well. Another listener has asked, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, Brian, why does Ireland not vote a vice president along with the president? That's maybe outside your scope, is it?
Actually, it's the first time I've had that question. But fundamentally, it comes down to our constitution, that the presidency and the role of it are set out in Articles 12 to 14 of the constitution. The people who wrote that constitution and the people who voted for it didn't include a reference to a vice president. So unlike other systems, most notably obviously in the United States, we don't have a vice president. We have one man or woman for the job, and that's the way it is at the moment.
And remind me of that. There's just a question. And will each counting centre publish how the county voted? Remind me of that website you said again.
Yeah, so there's a website, I think it's presidentialelection.ie, if I'm not mistaken, and that will be following the results from each of the count centres on Saturday. Obviously, I'd imagine yourselves in Highland Radio will be giving a lot of coverage to what's so going on in Letterkenny and the count centre there. And, you know, media and other outlets will be covering all these counts. So, you know, tune in and see how it's all going. So, you know, it's always exciting around these counts to see how the votes are going.
Yeah. And you can anticipate so much and think with the sentiment, hearing people on the ground. But it's so interesting seeing how it develops throughout the day, who's performing where. And I think the local elections are so interesting. You know, the parochialness of it and identifying what candidates and what area, if they're performing well. It is a great time to be a journalist.
It is. And as I say, you know, you love elections, we love elections, and we hope all your listeners love elections as well, because, you know, your vote is your voice, as I keep saying.
Yeah. Brian Dawson, Communications and Public Affairs Manager with the Electoral Commission. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, and all the best as well for the weekend ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaela.
Just having a look at those figures that Brian Dawson from the Electoral Commission was discussing there. The number of presidential electors by the constituency. In Donegal, 127,789 people have registered to vote, and that is the highest figure in the country, the number of presidential electors registered. In terms of the presidential election, a listener says, the reason people don't vote anymore is because it makes no odds. These people will be in government anyway, so why vote when they pick who they want to run? It's a joke, this country. This election is like watching paint dry, says another listener. Regarding the presidential election, the public are not interested because the public were not given a choice. Only three who the government want in. So I only three were chosen who the government want in. So I will be spoiling my vote if I vote at all. The government are handpicking who they know will toe the line and do as the government wants. A few people have in recent days come out in support of either Catherine Connolly or Heather Humphreys. Donegal Minister of State for Sport and Postal Policy, Charlie McConlogue, confirmed yesterday that he will be supporting Heather Humphreys in the presidential election this coming Friday. In a statement, he said, I have seen from working with Heather Humphreys her capabilities and know her to be a person of high calibre and good judgment, and someone who understands the needs of rural Ireland in particular. Well, that isn't really surprising, is it, either, that Minister McConlogue is lending his support to Heather Humphreys. Daniel O'Donnell, on the other hand, says he will be voting for Heather Humphreys on Friday, but laments that the presidential race does not offer a greater choice to the electorate. He said that he would have been happy to see the race cancelled after Fianna Fáil candidate Jim Gavin withdrew from campaigning. I'll be voting for Heather Humphreys, yes, probably, he told the Sunday Independent. I don't know anything personally about either of them, but I suppose I just feel that Heather represents more of what I think, he said. And in terms of Catherine Connolly, I've seen a lot of celebrities, as we would classify them, supporting her. So I saw yesterday that Irish presenter Laura Whitmore had shared her support for Catherine Connolly, and Kneecap as well seemed to be rowing in behind that campaign. Lastly, on the presidential election, just a point in regard to the presidential election, the number of candidates and the alleged democratic deficit. In the 2018 and the 2011 elections, there were 6 and 7 candidates respectively. The same rules for eligibility applied, so obviously the system that a lot of people now want to change is not the problem. Maria Sheen, a capable and highly educated individual, could and should have entered the race earlier, but the big parties have a lot to answer for. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael control a massive block of the votes necessary to enter the race. They pay lip service to the mantra that the role of the presidency is not political, and then they back off the avenues where prospective candidates the avenues where prospective candidates could get on the ballot. There has been an erosion of real democracy in this country since the rerun of the Lisbon Treaty, and it has stepped up a notch with the advent of this Lowry government and the farce that is now our National Parliament. Perhaps outrage at the approach to this presidential election might be the last straw, and people will say enough, but I'm not really expecting much. That is the view of that listener. Now, I'm joined by Kathleen Murray from the Save Donegal Animal Centre Group. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, good. So obviously we know that the ISPCA, Donegal Animal Rehabilitation Centre, was closed earlier this year. What is this latest stage of the campaign?
Well, what's happening at the moment is we're trying to get the support of people in the county to rally behind us and try to figure out what's going on with the centre, what's the future of the centre, and what we can do about the centre. So we've had a lot of good people who came to the protest, and out of that we have formed a group, and our mission is basically to try to get the centre up and running and back in the county for the animals of the county. Because it was left, it was built through legacies that were left to the people of the county, and the centre has now become the legacy for those animals in the county. So we really need this centre. The other animal welfare groups are completely inundated with calls, and animals that they can't, they don't have any space to take in. And they feel so bad about it themselves, because you, when you're an animal lover and you want to help animals, you want to be able to take these animals in and do something for them. But because the centre is closed now, that has closed a lot of animals out. And they have nowhere to go. They have nobody to help them. And so they're struggling. Everybody's struggling now in the county at the moment.
And we only had to look at, following the closure of the centre, a number of days later, was there was the huge seizure of puppies, I think, in Glenties. You know, so there's such a need for such a service in Donegal.
There is. There's a huge need for the service in Donegal. And it's so badly missed. And that centre dealt with the most wildlife of the other centres of the ISPCA. It dealt with the most cats. And so it's an absolute necessity to the county, to be honest, you know. So we definitely and desperately need that back. So what we're trying to encourage people to do is to look at our Facebook page, because all of our information is on there. We're also on Instagram, and it's called Save the Donegal Animal Centre. And we encourage people to like and follow that page, because we need a lot of support. We need all of the people of Donegal behind us to be able to get anywhere at all, because we need to show that Donegal is serious about wanting to get the centre back and open and up and running again.
Yeah, and most importantly too, you have a petition on that page as well. So the more signatures you get, the greater impact that will make as well, and hopefully getting a positive outcome.
Definitely. And we had a very fruitful meeting yesterday with Donegal County Council, who are already having meetings with the ISPCA over the dog warden situation. And so we they're now going to join in and look into what's happening with the centre and what the future of the centre is going to be as well. So it's great to have them interested and helpful like that.
And is the council, are they of the view that the centre should be up and running? Do they think maybe it should be relocated, or it's just getting the existing one back up and running?
No, they know that it was built for the animals of the county, and they're looking into how to get that open again and to be of benefit to the animals of the county. So they will meet with the ISPCA and bring up these questions as to what the future is going to be. So we really welcome their help on this and their input. And as I say, we had a very good meeting with them yesterday. So hopefully we'll be able to meet with them again sometime soon and see if they have any updates or have found out anything in the meantime, or how they may be able to support us going forward.
And as you did say, the centre did close at such short notice, but was there any plans laid out with regards to the future of the centre, or it was just the building was going to lie empty indefinitely?
I'm not sure, because the ISPCA made all those decisions with the DSPCA, and that's the Dublin SPCA. So people get confused in the SPCAs, and I can understand that because it has a bit of a mind bender. The ISPCA was the main group, and then other SPCAs were affiliates, you know, in the surrounding counties and the other counties. And Donegal SPCA started out as one of those affiliates and built the centre out of the money for the legacies. And the ISPCA had their own constitution. They had their own laws and rules, you could say, or whatever. All the affiliates are the same. They all operate under their own constitution. So some may vary a bit compared to others, depending on the county, depending on the needs and things like that. But so it can be confusing for people. They don't necessarily have anything to do with each other all the time, but the ISPCA was always seen as the main group and helped out the affiliates when they could. But that's all changed now, because the ISPCA claimed that they were in financial difficulties and that they did a review. I have no paperwork on that review, so I can't tell you what it even was. You know, did they have an accountant? Did they not? That's a question people will have to ask as well. So there's lots of questions still to be asked and to find out what exactly is going on. And did the regulator approve the handing over of our centre as an asset? You know, things like that that we really do need to dig deeper and look into and find out where it's all at. But we're determined to do all that and to open up that Pandora's box and to have a look at what's really going on and why our centre was the only one to close, as it was the smallest centre and it didn't have to close, because there were loads of options open to the ISPCA. They could have went on Highland Radio and alerted the people to their demise, basically, and asked for the support and the help. They could have run fundraisers in the county. They could have sold a field that's attached to the centre, because there's 13 acres down there, and invested that in the centre. That centre did not have to close. So it closed for a reason, at short notice, that many people are just not aware of. So we have to look into all of that.
And have you had any correspondence, Kathleen, from the regulator or, you know, the ISPCA since the centre's closed at all?
No, what happens, well, I sent emails to the ISPCA and the DSPCA. The DSPCA doesn't answer. But all of a sudden the ISPCA then come on, and so you know that they have probably been given the email or shown the email that I sent or whatever. And they respond, but they always respond with the same couple of lines that mean nothing. Basically, there's no answer in it. They have no plan for the future yet. They have nothing going for them at all, really, in relation to the centre up here. So you wonder, are they thinking of selling it? Are they, what the plan actually is for it? And they need to be a lot clearer. They need to have a plan, you know, to bring it back to the county again, at least. Because they were handed that centre, and the least they could do was hand it back if they can't run it.
Yeah, and I suppose that's, you know, there's such a personal element to it as well, because of that legacy, you know, side of the development of the centre, that's, you know, it's the care for the animals, but that's that emotional attachment as well.
Absolutely, because it was left by people from Donegal, basically, in their wills, for the animals of Donegal. So that couldn't be clearer. That really couldn't be clearer, you know. And that's what it's meant for. It's meant for the animals of Donegal. So that centre should never leave the county. It was never the plan for that centre to leave the county. And the ISPCA just made this decision. And now by December, we're on a time scale here. By December, they will have joined with the DSPCA, because they're still operating separately as well. But they will now then become the national group, the NSPCA, which is even more confusing for people. But and the asset will then, you know, be gone completely. So we need to look into it before all that happens. So we really, really need the support of the people of the county. We need this county to show that they're sincere about their animals, they care about their animals, and they want that centre back for their animals.
Yeah, and remind us again, Kathleen, of the Facebook page that has been set up.
It's called Save the Donegal Animal Centre.
Great.
And it's also on Instagram. So, yeah, if you could maybe read that out at some stage again, just to remind people. And the group that has been put together from the protest are great people. They have a lot of input and they're doing their best to help the people to join us and to help us out, and also to, you know, try to put stuff out there that are interesting, like the petition and things like that, trying to keep it going. So we need people to share that all over the place. We really need people to share the posts of that page and the updates, because we need to see the support.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is Kathleen Murray of the Save the Donegal Animal Centre. And as she outlined there, that is the name of the Facebook and Instagram page. And there is a petition online as well, which people are being encouraged to sign.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Our Christmas shop has now opened for all your festive shopping needs. Explore our extensive range of decorations, bedding and more in our homeware department, in-store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Today's weather, mostly cloudy with showery outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Scattered showers and sunny spells will develop through the day. Highest temperatures of 10 to 11 degrees in moderate to fresh west to northwest winds. Just a couple of minutes of time for some of your comments now in relation to number plates. They are complaining about number plates. What about the large number of cars that have totally blacked out front windows and windscreen? There doesn't seem to be anything done about this by the Gardaí, even though it's illegal and easily spotted. It's so ridiculous that Apple CarPlay, etc., is promoted for people to use their phones in the car. All I see on my TikTok For You page are products to use your phone in your car. I think possibly the Apple CarPlay is, the aim is to maybe improve safety, that, you know, you can access your Spotify, your contact book. So it's effectively turning your dash into your phone. But I don't know if, you know, apps like TikTok or Instagram or whatever, if social media apps would work through Apple CarPlay. I'm not entirely sure. Using your phone while driving is so dangerous. All it takes is a split second for an accident to happen. And never mind making a call on your phone. As a lorry driver, I see drivers watching TikToks and Netflix. That's a far bigger concern. Absolutely. You know, do they have it on as background noise, Netflix, or are they actively watching it? Is absolutely crazy. I don't know how people can concentrate in the road. You know, if you step into someone's car and it's, you know, a lot modern than the one you have, I have the dials to turn up the heating. But if someone then has, you know, it's a touch screen to turn up the heat, I nearly have to stop the car to turn it up or do it before I move off, because I just can't concentrate. There's so many different elements to it. It's nearly like using your phone and you're going through different apps. It's totally distracting. So there is no excuse for anyone holding a phone while driving these days, as most cars have good fitted car kits, says that listener. Well, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. John Breslin is coming up next on Around the Northwest. Thank you so much to Carling Orr and to Shannon Wilkin for producing and for all their help on the show today. We'll be back again tomorrow from 9 o'clock. Good morning.